Well, good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship Church.
Good morning.
Are we awake? Everybody awake?
Somewhat.
I'd be remiss if I just didn't take a few moments to let you know that every time I get the privilege of being with you, it's such a joy. This church obviously has taken the cue from your leadership, from your pastor. You're the most welcoming, authentic welcoming church that I know. And to be here with you and to share your pastor's pulpit, it's just a great honor. So I love you. I love being with you. Thank you for always welcoming me. I thank Matt as well. Matt is such a servant. He leads us in worship and the expression of song, but every time I come, as you guys know, I give you homework, 2 pages of notes. He's always very gracious to help me to facilitate that with no complaint. And he's just a blessing. And so my heart is full of gratitude today. So we've worshiped in song, and we're going to worship in the Word in a moment. But before we do that, I want to take a few moments of remembrance in regards to this weekend. I want you to look at this slide of these guys. This is a torpedo bomber squadron of pilots from the USS Hornet from World War II. This picture was taken June 4th, 1942. It was the morning that some historians say, a lot of historians say, an epic battle that would determine the outcome of the war in the Pacific was to take place that day. These men, I get emotional every time I see these men, because they knew the equipment they were flying was obsolete. They were flying against the elite of the elite. The Japanese had aircraft then that we had no match at that point in history. And they knew that the likelihood of them coming back from this mission this day was small. But yet, because of what was at stake, because of their desire to not let tyranny rule the world, they willingly went into harm's way that day. And of these 15 men, only one survived. The torpedo bomber went in low and slow. They were supposed to have fighter cover. It didn't happen. It was an uncoordinated moment at that time, and the Japanese shot them down. Every plane, all 15 planes were shot down. As I mentioned, one man, Ensign Gay, he's in the middle of the lower row. He lived and actually watched the battle from his life preserver in the sea. But in their sacrifice, I don't want you to miss this, because they came in low and slow, they drew down the fighter cover of the Japanese. And when the American dive bombers arrived providentially, sovereignly at that exact moment, they were free to come and destroy 3 of the Japanese carriers in the first wave and turn the tide, and that battle turned the tide of the Pacific War. So today we remember those who've sacrificed their lives on the altar of freedom. So what I'd like to do is this. If you've had a family member who's given their life in the service of our country in either World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Middle Eastern conflicts, would you do us the honor of please standing at this moment? Would you please stand? Thank you. Please stay. Please remain standing. Let's thank them for their sacrifice for their family. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to ask you guys to remain standing, and I want to remember one other group, even though this isn't officially sorry, because it's important. If you've served in any branch of the military, I'd like to take a moment to honor you as well. Would you, if you've served in a branch of the military, would you please stand as well? Thank you, guys. You may be seated. I just always think about the sacrifice that's been laid. As Abraham Lincoln said many years ago, on the altar of our freedom. We have much to be grateful for, do we not? So here's my assignment today. We're going to find it in the book of Joshua. You'll see the passage on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to join us and follow along. It's chapter 6. Excuse me. Joshua, it's the sixth book. Chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. And the people of Israel are poised on the border of the promised land. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. God killed a whole generation because they didn't believe his promises. And Joshua's there. They're getting ready to enter into the promised land. A new chapter is going to begin for the people of Israel and for Joshua as well. So today, we're going to deal with the question of, are you starting a new chapter? And if you are, what are some choices that can lead to God's favor and lasting success? And I'm not talking about success as far as how the world would term it. No, I'm talking about kingdom success. And there's lots of ways to begin new chapters in our lives, are they not? Life is more than one just one long journey. It's broken into seasons or episodes or chapters. There's turning points. There's inflection points. There's hinges in our history. And it's really important to note when those chapters end and when they begin. And then to make choices that please the Lord and lead to success whenever you begin a new chapter. And so today in God's Word, we're going to look at such a thing. And join me. It'll be on your screen. If you have your Bibles, look at Joshua chapter 1. I want to remind you as we begin to read this Word, this timeless, God-breathed, unchanging Word, this is unlike any work of literature that we will ever look at. I know I'm talking to the choir. But I want to remind you today that this Word is alive. It's literally God-breathed. And as we walk through it today, it will cut between our souls and our spirit. It will pour into us and bring about change, and bring about redemption, and bring about God's glory. And as we look at this chapter today, these nine verses, the people of Israel are at a new chapter beginning, and there's such practical instruction for us as well. So let's start in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So what about your life? Are you beginning a new chapter? Some are programmatic in our culture. Like when a child graduates from high school, we've just had graduation, and they're on their way to college or to trade school or to the military or a first job. It's the beginning of a new chapter. Another new chapter begins when you get married or when you have your first child. A new chapter of sleeplessness. That's a joke. I should put laugh right here. You guys know, I mean, my jokes are not very good. So another new chapter begins sometimes when you take a new job or you move to a new city. Maybe you've moved to Heiko recently. Maybe you've taken a new job. Maybe this is your first Sunday at Grace Bible Fellowship. But sometimes, though, the chapters in our lives are not planned and they're not programmatic. They come as unwelcome intruders. We really don't want them to arrive. They come whenever a marriage frays and crumbles and a divorce comes that we didn't want. And a new chapter begins. They come when we lose a child. And a chapter we never imagined begins. They come when you lose a job. And a new chapter begins. They come when a worldwide pandemic strikes and our economy is shut down, and a new chapter begins. They come when the doctor calls and you go to your visit and the news is not good, and a new chapter begins. You see, there's all kinds of new chapters, are there not? But there are some principles that are transferable, they are universal, that come out of this chapter that we've read, this turning point in the life of God's people, that will serve us well. And here's the first principle, the first choice that will lead to lasting success in a new chapter. If you're a note taker, it's in your notes. Here's the first principle, is to let go of the old chapter, to let it go. Release it and turn into the new chapter. Did you notice how the writer begins in verse 2? The first words of the Lord to Joshua were this. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Do you wonder why the Lord began that way? Joshua knew that. He'd been Moses' friend for 40 years. He'd been his assistant. He'd walked upright with him through the wilderness time, right to the edge of the promised land. He'd seen Moses go up into the mountain, and God told Moses, you can look over there, but you can't go. And Joshua was right with him. He knew that Moses had died. So why did the Lord tell him, Moses, my servant is dead? Well, I believe it's this. The Lord was saying to Joshua, that chapter is done. It's over. You need to close the door. Moses is not coming back. You're not going back. And sometimes for us to really make progress in the new chapters that are open for us, that the Lord opens in our lives and that the Lord intends, you have to be just that deliberate to let go. I don't want you to miss something. Because they had been friends for 40 years, guess what else was what Joshua was doing right here? He was mourning. He was grieving the loss of a dear friend. He was grieving the loss of a relationship, of a mentor. And oftentimes, when we enter into new chapters in our lives, we have to grieve losses. But God is big enough. His grace is sufficient enough to help us grieve in healthy ways, to let them go and to turn towards the new chapter by faith. Can you do that today? Are you at one of those turning points? Now, when I say let go of the old chapter, I don't mean you ignore or forget the past. Oh, no. You give thanks to God for His favor and protection and His forgiveness in those times. You rejoice and celebrate the victories. You learn from the lessons of the past. You let God's faithfulness then fuel your faith in the present. But you let it go. You quit looking in the rearview mirror and you turn toward the new chapter. Have any of you ever been to the circus? Can I see your hands? Do you remember the circus? It was one of my favorite things to do, and I loved when they had the trapeze act. The people swinging around on those trapezes, and they call the one that does all the tricks the flyer. And normally there's this big, strong man with his legs wrapped around the trapeze, and he's called the catcher. And there was a writer and a priest by the name of Henry Nouwen, and he says in one of his books that he became friends with a family of trapeze artists. And the leader of the troupe told Henry Nouwen that the flyer must have complete trust in the catcher. The public might think that the flyer is the big star with all the acrobatics and the things he does, but the real star is the catcher. He has to be there for the flyer with split-second precision. And the secret to success for the trapeze artist is, and don't miss this, is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. The worst thing the flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. It's a recipe for disaster. Before the flyer flies, there's one other thing he's got to do. Do you know what it is? He's got to let go. He's got to let go. He's got to let go and reach towards that catcher. Maybe the reason you're here today is just this point. Maybe you've been tied to something in your old chapter, someone, something you loved, a place you were secure. And God is saying this morning, let that go. Let it go and reach out toward me. I'm the catcher. I'll catch you. I'll see you in to the next chapter of your life. I just have to admit this morning that that's much easier said than done, is it not? I'm reminded of Rick Warren's story about the guy who fell off a 1,000-foot cliff. He managed to grab on to the only branch on the side of the wall of the mountain about 500 feet down, and he looks heavenward as he's hanging on for dear life to this branch, and he yells out, "Is anybody up there?" And in a minute or so, a voice came back. It was the voice of God and said, "I'm here. Trust me. Let go." Dead silence. The guy waited a few moments, fingers hanging on, and he said this, "Is there anybody else up there?" That's the way we feel, is it not? Sometimes we know we're supposed to let go, but we just can't. I'm praying today that you and I will be able to let go and turn into the new chapter that God has for our lives. The second principle is whenever you enter a new chapter, you have to clarify the mission. Clarify the mission. God did that for Joshua. It was to take the land. He described, you see it in the fourth verse, he described the land from the desert to the Lebanon, from the Euphrates in the east to the Mediterranean. And the mission was absolutely clear. The Lord said to Joshua, "Joshua, take the land that I'm giving to the people. Anytime we enter a new chapter, it's good to know what the mission is. And whenever you start a new job, it's good to know from your supervisor, your boss, how you'll be measured, what the deliverable is, what the critical path is, what the mission is. And the Lord made that clear to Joshua. But I want to submit to you this morning, it's also good for a church to know their mission as well. And I love the mission of Grace Bible Fellowship Church. It's this: our mission is to know God and make Him known. Simple but yet profound, filled with power. Can you guys say this with me out loud? Because that's your call. That's the mission that God has clarified for this church. Can we say it out loud together? Let's do. Our mission is to know God and make Him known. I'm convinced we can do a lot of other stuff, and some of it may be good. But did we fulfill the mission that God has clarified for us? Did we give it our all for the glory of God? So when we start a new chapter, we clarify the mission. The third principle is to trust God's promises and count on His presence. To trust on His promises and count on His presence. Look carefully at verse 5 again. As Joshua begins this new chapter, here's what the Lord promises. He says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." And listen to this promise of God's presence. "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." Wow. Whenever you enter a new chapter, a lot of times you feel lonely. Sometimes you've left relational networks behind or family behind. Sometimes you have to establish new friend groups. Sometimes you have to make your way to a new church. Sometimes when this new chapter comes, fear can begin to overwhelm you. Fear of the unknown. Fear of rejection. Fear about what lies ahead. You see, God has promised us that as we enter into a new chapter in our lives, He knows that there's times we will have this alone feeling. And He says, "Look, you're not going to be alone. I won't leave you. I will not forsake you." Jesus said right before He left the earth, He said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Beloved church, I don't know what chapter you may be walking in, but I know this: if you're in Christ, you're not walking alone. The one who is upholding the universe by the word of His power this morning, that the implications of that are vast. Jesus is upholding the universe by the word of His power. We were created for fellowship with Him. He loves us. He loves you enough to give His life. He came to make things right between those that would believe in Him and the Father. And maybe you know that God loves you, but have you ever considered that knowing that Jesus and God loves you is one thing, and it's a beautiful thing, but have you ever let go and let Him love you? Just love you. Just bask in His presence, in the glorious reality of the truth that nothing in this life can separate you from Him. Nothing. Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He said, neither angels or demons or past or present or future, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. He won't leave you. He won't lose you. He will not abandon you. You can count on His presence as you walk with Him. Boy, those are good words for a new chapter, aren't they? But that's not the end of the story. Look at verse 6. If you have your Bible, your notes, so what he says, be strong and courageous. Circle those words if you would for me. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Circle those words again. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And look at it. Look at verse 8, because it's so important. He says to Joshua, look, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That means to chew on it, to think on it, to turn it over in your mind, to internalize it, to absorb it, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Circle those once again. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These are such wonderful words for you and me when we begin a new chapter. And I ask you three times to circle those words, strong and courageous. Why did the Lord say to him three times in a span of four verses, be strong and courageous? It's because the Lord knew that in the face of a new chapter, Joshua was going to feel weak and not very courageous. He was going to feel alone at times. And Scripture bears that out. But the Lord is saying to him, look, Joshua, by my spirit, by my power, you will be strong. You will be courageous. So here's the principle for us. It's number 4 in your notes. Don't let your fears determine your future. Don't let your fears determine your future. In other words, don't allow the things you may be afraid of to circumscribe the possibilities you are willing to engage as you move into the new chapter. New chapters, a lot of times, most often, bring new responsibilities, new opportunities, new relationships, new challenges. Hard things. Sometimes that produces fear. But the Lord says to us, as He did to Joshua, don't let your fears be the limiting factor. The Apostle Paul put it this way to young Timothy. It'll be on your screen, it's in your notes. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is a good verse, beloved church, to memorize. It's a great verse to memorize. When you feel afraid as you're moving into the future, you say, Lord, you've not given me a spirit of fear. Your perfect love casts out fear. I feel afraid. That's okay. He knew we would be afraid. But I'm going to say aloud right now that you have given me spiritual power by the power of the Holy Spirit. You love me. You won't leave me. You won't abandon me or forsake me. You've given me self-control and self-discipline by the Holy Spirit to conquer my fear. You see, if there's such a thing as a continuum, it's the next slide. Where fear is on the one side of an equation and foolishness is on the other, this sweet spot is faith. It's a faith that does its homework. Look, when Joshua was overlooking the land, he sent in spies. He didn't go in unprepared. I remember, maybe you remember the story when he's looking over Jericho, this fortified city that you could drive two chariots side by side around the walls, trying to think about what that would be like. He was a military man, a commander of the army. He wasn't foolish. If you remember the rest of that story, the Lord shows up and Joshua asked him a question, which kind of makes sense. He's, are you for us or against us? And the Lord said, no. The battle's mine. The battle's his today in your life as you're facing that Jericho, whatever it may be. It's willing to walk by faith into the future, even if we don't know all the answers, even if you don't know the places it will lead, even if you don't know the outcome. So I want to say to you this morning, as you walk into a new chapter, if you're in Christ, you don't have to be afraid. So let me wrap up this point by turning to that great theologian cowboy, John Wayne. He put it this way. He said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. And some of us, as we head into a new chapter, and we're a little afraid, by God's grace, we need to just saddle up and go ahead and take a step. And God will honor your faith and your obedience. The last two things this passage teaches us is don't be discouraged when it takes longer and is much harder than you ever thought it would be. I don't know how long Joshua thought it would take them to conquer this land, to reach the boundaries that God promised in verse 4. But by the time we get to chapter 13, Joshua says this. He says, I'm an old man, and there's still much land to take. In fact, by the end of the book, they haven't taken it all. It just takes much longer, and it's usually much harder than we anticipate it will be on the front end. But here's the key, church. Don't quit. Don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on your degree. Don't quit on your job. Don't quit on the opportunity that God has placed in front of you. Now, there are some things that you ought to quit that are not worthy of you. But the things that matter, the things that are right, the things that are done for the right reason, don't quit. Don't be discouraged when it takes longer. It is much harder than you had thought it would be. You know what I've discovered in my life? You've heard of, quote, overnight successes. Most overnight successes take at least 15 years. It just takes much longer. It's much harder than we think it will be. And here's the last. But don't miss this one. Saturate your life with Scripture. The real heart of this exhortation is when the Lord says to Joshua in verse 8, he says, this book of the law, the scripture, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It's so interesting that the thing the Lord wanted to make sure Joshua had at the front end of his new chapter was not good military tactics, although he was certainly facing a great military challenge. The Lord didn't focus on his strategies or his skills. The Lord didn't focus on his competencies. The Lord focused on his character. He said to Joshua, the way you fuel your character is by saturating your life with my word. You hear it, you think about it, you apply it, you study it, you obey it, you speak it, and you build the truth of God into your life. And along the way, you'll learn the skills. Along the way, you'll develop the tactics. You'll learn the strategies. You'll master the paradigms. You'll learn the things necessary for you to accomplish your mission. But the key to lasting success has to do with who you are in Christ. And that means you listen daily for His guidance, for His direction, and then you bend your life by the leading of the Spirit to be obedient to God's Word. I've put a prayer in your notes. It'll be on your screen as well. It's a prayer for a new chapter in your life, in our lives. I'm going to pray that over us as we close. It's a simple prayer. But beloved church, prayer changes things, does it not? So if you're facing a new chapter in your life, whatever the chapter may be, it may be a joyous occasion, it may be a very difficult time, a very hard chapter in your life. Whatever it may be, I invite you, I'm going to pray this over us. If you want to pray out loud, I invite you to join with me. If not, if you want to pray silently. But this simple prayer, I believe, as we go to the throne of grace, based on the finished work of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ, let's pray this prayer together, shall we? Dear God, I need you. Please help me let go of the past as I begin this new chapter. Please show me your ways and help me to walk in them. Please give me courage to conquer my fears and endurance to keep going when times are tough. Please help me develop the habit of listening for your guidance and direction from Scripture every day. Please transform me by your truth for my good and for your glory. My desire is to follow Jesus. I pray these things in His name.